Gentlemen, Shin Men Aleph. Okay. Fine. Aninus. The Bimim are pretty straightforward. There are a lot of Pisachei Tshuvas that I want to touch upon, but generally speaking, Aninus d'Oraisa, I mentioned this already at the beginning of one of the early Shurim this week. Aninus d'Oraisa is only the day of the Misa, and it does not extend into the night, except for Midrabanan. Bizman Hazeh, Aninus is only the Rabbanan what we do, not doing mitzvahs and things like that, either because of Kvod Hameis, or because you're supposed to be Misaseh Pitzarchik for, and there could theoretically be, obviously, Nafkin between those two reasons. But Aninus is only the Rabbanan, and it ceases immediately after the Kavura. One of the, I think the Smaks, or Smag says, that Noagud Lahafsika Aninus after the Kavura, and the Aruch HaShulchan has a short essay about this, because he says, what do you mean the Minhag? Firstly, why does it continue the rest of the day like Aninus d'Oraisa, called the Tikkun Rabbanan d'Oraisa Tikkun? And so what he answers, the Aruch HaShulchan says, is that it makes no sense. You can't, since this is only Drabbanon, the Rabbanon were not going to have you be Mevatel Mitzvos further into the day once the mace has been buried already. When Kavod HaMeis and Nusasei Petzorchei Kfura are no longer relevant, and once they did away with these dinim, because when they were would have been a kuva, so they weren't going to split the aninus in half, and therefore all aninus terabanan ceases. It's not mitzad minag, mitzad din ceases with the kavura. Okay, and we're going to see a number of examples in the Shulchan Aruch of mitzvahs that you now have to decide whether you do or not. This is one of the really fun topics which we're not going to dwell upon, but it's obviously a broad shas topic of when you have a shas hachiyuv, which has a certain time it begins. And someone is potter at the beginning of that time, what is their status if they all of a sudden become chayiv in the middle? So in our case of Aninos, you're potter. If you're an onein, let's say, take the example that the Rush dealt with. It happens only if the mace dies on Shabbos or before Shabbos, not if they die after Shabbos. But if the mace dies on Shabbos, when Arvis comes, so the Avelim are potter from Ma'ariv, they're not allowed to daven Ma'ariv, they're onenim. And let's say they bury the mace Sunday morning. So now, after Sunday morning, they bury it before Zman Shachris is up. So they can daven Shachris. What about doing Tashlumin for the Marav that you missed? They say, no, you don't do Tashlumin because you were Pater. Okay? But there's a question, even if the interesting question, and that's taken for granted by Shachris, is what if you were an Oni when Shachris Zman began, but not when it ends? The assumption of Shulchan Aruch is that you do it. The question comes up by Havdalah, right? There, it's a machlokas harishonim. Whether or not you say that and again, it's not the first moment of Havdalah, whether you say Motzei Shabbos is really the Iker Zman Havdalah and the rest of it is Tashlumin, or you say, no, it's all, and if you're not Nischayev in the Iker, you're not Nischayev in Tashlumin. You have to know the backdrop to this, by the way. It's a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga is a machlokas Amorayim, whether or not, when we say that you're supposed to bring your Karbanos, your Shalmei Chagiga and your Olas Re'iyah, you're supposed to bring on the first day of Yom Tov, which you can do unless it's Shabbos, the way we pass them like Beis Hillel, that Olas Re'iyah come on Yom Tov. But what if you don't? So you bring it the rest of the Chag. So we say that the rest of the Chag are Tashlumin. So what is the nature of the Tashlumin? Says the Machlokas Amorayim. One Shita says that Kulan Tashlumin L'Risham. Ikras Man is the first day. And the other Shita says, no, Kulan Tashlumin Zelazet. No, they're all equally Chayiv, and they each are, even if you did it today, you pattern having to do it the other day, whether it's a later day, an earlier day, and so on. What's an afkamina between these two Shitas? So the Gemara says, an afkamina is Chiger v'nis Pashet. If a person, when the regal began, was lame, and a Chiger is pater from Mitzvah Re'iyah, because Shalosh Regalim Tachog B'Bashana, therefore, what happens if he's nispashed? He becomes well. All of a sudden, he becomes a world champion marathon runner, right? In the middle of Chag. He couldn't walk a step before, and it's a miracle. And now he can run marathons. So what's the din? So if you hold that Kulan Tashlum in the Rishon, so since he was potter when Yom Tov began, therefore he's potter even though he becomes eligible in the middle. But if he was chayiv when, if he was potter, but if you say kulon tashlum in zelazeh, so then it that the ikar chayiv is not necessarily the first day. It's any day of Yom Tov, and if he's chigam and his pashe ben tzaregel, he's chayiv to bring at that point. Matt?
Yeah, the example of Rush. So how does Shabbos, for somebody who's relative dies on Shabbos beforehand, how does Shabbos end for them? Like, would they say something that's
no, when Shabbos is over, the assumption there is that when Tzeisa Kochav comes, Shabbos is over. There's no need for Havdalah because there's no mitzvah Havdalah for them.
So why wouldn't we say that, like, daven right after Shkia?
That Eitzah is raised by very, I think, recent poskim. I don't know if it makes sense to page of Shachar. Maybe they could daven mivod yom. In other words, when they're not allowed to do any malacha because it's still Shabbos, but you're allowed to daven after plaga mincha. That suggestion has been made, that Avelim could daven mit mariv on after plaga mincha Shabbos. The response to that, I don't know if anybody explicitly disagrees with that, is that even though you can daven before, since the ikar zman chiyuv is belayla, you're just being makdim. If you're not chayav belayla, then you don't daven before either. But that suggestion is maybe some postgame. I have this impression, but I could be wrong, the Chacham Ovadia makes that suggestion. I don't know if he's the first one to make that suggestion, right? I know somebody does suggest that.
But it just seems like the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that it's not...
No, they never suggested that Eitzah, correct.
Why?
Because, well, either they didn't hold it. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so anyway, so this question... You have a question, Shira? So this question of his Chayvus at the first Zman... So it's irrelevant also in a case where a katan is nisgadel be'emsa hashiva, or maybe be'emsa hashloshim, which I thought actually could have been analyzed from a different perspective, but they don't, which is maybe when he turns into a gadol, that's what's called a shmua, and that's a shmua krova. He didn't hear before he was bar mitzvah, because he's not a barachi. They clearly don't assume that way. They assume that shmua is when you know about it. It doesn't matter whether you're a gadol or a katan. So if he was nisgadel be'emsa shiva, so maybe, does he have to start sitting shiva? The answer to that question, I believe, is no. But when we paskin, no, I think.
Kriya also doesn't have to?
I don't think so. I think the argument would be is that a katan, if the karov died, if the ikar shas chalos ha'avelis or kriya, the person was not a barhachi. Not that they didn't know. If they weren't a barhachi, then they're never chayiv. That's the point. So kriya, I think, would be the same thing. Okay, fine. So anyway, so that issue will come up, but the dinim aninus are actually come up all the at every shiva, every avelus. The dinim aninus are going to come up. The only way they wouldn't come up is if a person did not hear about the patira until after the kura, which bisman hazeh is very rare. Yudi, for a karov.
So let's say. You gave two reasons. One was osik minamis, another one was...
No, I said one is so they should be osik b'tzorach ha'meis, and the other is kavar ha'meis. I didn't say osik b'mitzvah patam
and ha'mitzvah. So let's say...
Because osik b'mitzvah patam and ha'mitzvah is only patur if he can't do both mitzvahs. If one is not an impediment, right. The other is no patur, right? Two people who are digging the grave, if there's only one guy and has to be working constantly, then he's patur from kriya shvam and atfilim and atfilim. But if there are two guys, and yeah. It's not like a grave, one of them, I think the Ramban might say in the Torah Sadam, I haven't gotten ahead this far into our Sadam. But if it's a two-person job and they dig at the same time, then that din doesn't apply. Then they're both pata from kriya and they have to keep digging. But if it's only one person can dig at a time and you take turns doing it, so then mamela, when one guy is not his turn, he says kriya shema.
So let's say like this particular person has absolutely nothing to do with...
So that's the question of Rabbeinu Tams, who was in another city and... was not knowing Aninus for his sister. Because he said, her husband, who's chayiv in her burial, is going to, is taking care of her, so I'm not an onin. Right? He wasn't an avel, and he wasn't an onin.
Is that how we pass it? Yeah.
We don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. We'll talk a little about those cases. Exactly. If you're in jail, then you're not Aninus. If there's literally, if you not only not come to mind, if you couldn't do anything if you wanted, so yeah. Then, right. The question that Achronim talk about, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. What about in modern Europe, laws were passed that prohibited a burial without a grace period. Now, there was an idea they went to make sure the mace was really, wasn't almost dead, but was really dead. Okay? What's the opposite of almost dead? Just dead? Oh, I don't remember what is. What? It's mostly dead versus dead. Okay, so yeah. So they were afraid that this person was only mostly dead, but not dead. So therefore, they made people wait, which was an issue for Jews because of Halanas Hameis. They had no choice. They had to obey the law. The question is, are you an Onin in that in-between time if there's nothing you can do? So then the Behuda, this quoted by the Pesach Chubi, talks about that. We'll get there. Yes. Jeremy. I think we passed Gitzamach Lokas, we passed in Potter.
Okay. Why is this different in the case where you don't have a shirt and you get a shirt after Shiva?
Kriya is, firstly, it's only by a parent. Only by a parent.
Yeah.
But that's because it's a din in Kibbut Avayim. It's not a din in Kriya Vavelis, per se.
See, when the Katan, I don't understand, the Katan was Pater originally.
No, but someone else was chayiv to do Kriya. They either didn't because they had no beged, or they didn't because they didn't know about it. The Katan was Pater b'shas hachiyuv. Right? Your nishai, the mechayev of kriya is the misa of the
relative.
What?
So is the guy who doesn't have a shirt.
He's still chayiv in kriya. He just can't do it. He has nothing to do it on.
I don't understand. They're both called pater.
No. There's one guy who's pater because he's anus. The other one's pater because he's not a bar chiyuva. That guy who doesn't have a shirt, if he had a shirt, he'd have to tear kriya. The katan has a shirt. The katan knows about it. It doesn't matter. The katan doesn't do kriya. He's not a bar...
So we're assuming like the opinion in Chagigah who says you're only chayiv the first day?
So the assumption is yes. So I don't. We'll get to that discussion much later in our limud, which means probably within 2 or 3 weeks. But one of the things that I remember, I thought it was a pashut raya, that of course he doesn't sit shiva, is why don't you sit shiva on haruge beisdin? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, because kapara, if they have kapara, once they have kapara, they're not rush anymore. But yes, but when is kapara achieved? After stimas hagolo. And because, in other words, he has to be a little bit in the grave or something like that. And therefore, that only comes after Stima Sagolo. But the Mechayev of Avelos, the Aschalas Avelos, comes with Stima Sagolo. And if there was no din of Avelos for the mace at that time, then you are eternally Pater. Even though he's now gotten Kapara, even within a day, within a minute, an hour, you don't sit Shiva. Right? Now, you could distinguish between the mace not being a bar Lisabalala versus an individual, but it's not so it's not such a far leap to connect the two. You could have distinguished between saying a mace who's simply not bechlal, someone who misabel upon at the time avel should be chal, versus someone who is a parent is a barha, but you're not a barha, you're not a bar chiyuva in order to do so. But it's also not such a big leap to connect the two and say they're the same. All right. So anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch begins. Misha meis lo meishu chayv lisabel alav kodem kevura ocha b'bayis sachar. This is the brisa in Brachos. You're not supposed to eat in front of the mace. It's a bizayon a mace. If he doesn't have another house, not everybody has two houses. It also could be two rooms in a house. That would be the same thing. But if he doesn't have another room, this is, by the way, I never thought about this kind of proof. You realize that most houses in the time of Chazal were single-room houses. We've discussed this over the course of the year, just in terms of people's nihug. Ain bias lachavero. If he's as the Achronim say, he's living amongst non-Jews. The Shach says so. There are no other Jewish houses where he'd be comfortable sitting and eating. Oselo mechitza v'ochel, builds a mechitza. This is, by the way, an important Mari Malcolm to file away because they talk about chinu mechitza shel sadin sagi and talkashu le'asada b'inyan she'enu nital beruach. This is important for the purposes of the canvas sukkahs to know. This is a proof actually. If the bottom is tied down, so then it's good. Because they talk about this is din for all mechitzos. And ein lo davar lasus mechitza machzer panav va'ochel. If you don't have a mechitza, you turn the other way and you eat. Uvenkach uvenkach. Tafilu bir acheres. Before I get that, actually, one other observation. The Taz writes that ochel b'bayis acher, that because it's like loeg l'rush sitting eating in front of the mace. And he says, I think he says that it only. But I don't see this Taz now. Thought the Taz says it only applies. I thought there was a Taz. The Shach says this applies even on Shabbos, when you can't be Oseh B'Bikur, because it's just Bizayin Hameis to sit there and eat in front of him. And therefore, that should apply even to non-Krovim. Even other people who aren't should not eat in the presence of the mace. And someone, and the Taz says something, I can't find this Taz. Oh, for my note, it is there. He says this doesn't apply to people not relatives. I know it should. So he says only someone who's chayev in his kfura is it a bizarion to the mace if he's sitting there and not taking care of the needs of kfura. Anyway, that's what the Taz says. So the Pischei Tshuva points out that the Maharit in his Bar Hetev, this is not our Bar Hetev, combines the Shach and the Taz, and he says the Pischei Tshuva says they're arguing with one another. Because according to the Shach, it should be permissible on Shabbos when no one can do anything for the Kfura. Obviously, the Shach doesn't believe like the Taz. He thinks that Loi L'Rush applies to anybody. And Mirach HaShulchan somehow defends the Bar Hetev and says, no, they are compatible. I didn't want to be Mamek, and it's not really L'maisa. Okay? Yeah.
Nowadays, do Shulchan eat in front of the mate?
I assume not. about what's that?
Because of
front of the miss.
But then anything, meaning any other type of bracha or thing or mitzvah.
Well,
I don't know what else it would be.
I don't know what else it would be either.
Davening,
no, so the Vivate don't daven in front of the mace. The only thing they do say, they practice, they say Tehillim. You also might have the opportunity, I think we probably tell someone like that, is if the mace is in a room and they can daven standing in front of the door. That's sufficient Shemira.
Don't we usually assume that Lord Larash is only for mitzvah? Am I wrong about that?
No. Yes, you're wrong about that.
So what else other than mitzvah and eating falls under Lord Larash?
Nothing that they weren't goes over. But, you know, I mean, the cases tend to be, you know, mitzvos. But you see from here that it's not only mitzvos.
So when one's in a beit hakvarah, what other things should one make sure to abstain from?
You probably shouldn't be singing in the beit hakvarah. You should be dancing in the beit hakvarah. It's just... Yes.
Oftentimes in the chapel, they hand out water. They have the maids sitting in front of everyone.
So... You know, it might be that if they're handing out water, it's because people are thirsty and it's hot or something like that. That's not Loig LaRosh. That's not Ohal B'Shosa Lefanav.
I don't know. That's eating and drinking.
And I could say...
I'm hungry, but it's also
used to you drink water so people won't pass out. It's a different thing. It's Necholi. Yossi. Yossi?
What is the phrase Loig
LaRosh? To mock the poor. In this case, it's the dead, who can't do mitzvahs anymore.
Oh, so the key is like doing mitzvos?
You don't do mitzvahs in front of the mace. Loeg larosh chereif oseu. Umechabdo chone nevion, I think. Okay. The one who mocks the poor has blasphemed his creator. Said, and one who honors the poor, what did I say? Umechabdo? One who honors God is chone nevion, shows kindness towards the poor.
Why is eating? But eating's not a mitzvah.
I know, but the point, no, it's not a problem of brachos. It's that you're sitting and fressing in front. There's one of the activities of the chayim that the mace doesn't do, can't do anymore. He can't enjoy good wine and good, you know, good meat and fine wine anymore. You know, he can't enjoy good food, so you don't sit in front of him. Yes?
It's something like playing sports. You probably also fall into this category.
Yeah, you shouldn't play sports in the cemetery either. That's correct. Yeah, you shouldn't play hide and seek amongst the graves. Okay.
What do shomrim typically do?
They do recite some Tehillim. And the question is, why are they allowed to do that? The question is raised. We're going to deal with it later, doing stuff with the Dalai Lama of the Kever, but that's assumed to be L'chvod HaMeis.
Okay, and sit there on their laptop? Like, what's...
No, they're really... Listen, here's what they're supposed to do and what they do are two separate questions. I had a roommate, my second year in college. He was a good guy. I didn't go to Eretz Yisrael for whatever reasons that I wasn't able to go, but he didn't go for financial reasons. But he put himself through college. And one of the things he used to do, I often had the room to myself at night because he'd be in the funeral chapel doing Shmira. So there were rules how much you could sleep, how much Tehillim you had to recite, you know, and so on and so forth. So ideally, you're not doing other activities. You're being shown in the mace. But we do Shmira. Really, Shmira is supposed to be Minah Achbarim. If you put the mace in the morgue and it's closed off, you don't have to worry about the mice or anything else. Those shaydim aren't mitzuyim is manenu, but nonetheless people do it. It's a very common practice. You have shomrim. So therefore, you don't have people, it's not like the Bikur Cholim societies, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about, so they pay people to do it, you know. And so that's what he used to do. So he would tell me about, you know, how much tilling you expect at their site and so on. So I don't know exactly what they do. They probably have give the shomrim instructions what they can and can't do. Okay. Yes. Only by Kachim and Maser Sheni. Achilas Kachim and Avoda B'Mikdash for non-Kohen Gadol. The Achilas Kachim is on both Kohen Hedyot and Kohen Gadol. And Achilas Maser Sheni. All of the Raninus is the Rabbanon.
And then practically speaking, these didn't really not to say that they don't apply, but meaning the person's probably going to die in the hospital.
You mean the case of eating in front of him?
Right. Yeah,
now, those don't come up so often. This part. Now we're going to get to the Tachlis part in a second. Yehuda? Okay, that I want to tell you, my friend. I have now heard two klutzkashes this week. One of them was, if Svira Bizman Hazel is only Drabanan, does that mean that the Yom Tov Shavuos is only Drabanan?
Come on, this again.
What?
This again.
It kept popping up this week.
It's like in class with Professor Bernstein.
Oh, yeah, that's where I wasn't there, but it was someone who was over in Shear, and he told us over in the car, and I said, that's one of the worst klatch kashas I've ever heard. It came from a very smart person. I said, Svira means the Svira bepeh. The Torah, when it says, Svartan lochemi machras ha-Shabbos, it doesn't mean if you don't count, then Shavuos doesn't happen. The Torah is telling you that Shavuos takes place 50 days after the first day of Pesach. The Chachamim teach us, but it's the Reis Rav, that there's a mitzvah to be mona bepeh. If you didn't count the years in the Shemitah cycle and seven times, is there no Yovel because of that? Even though there may be a mitzvah on the base of the count, that's ridiculous. Of course there is. When we say that Sfira b'zman says the Rabbanan, it means the Sfira bepeh. It doesn't mean the calendar doesn't function. Okay. Anyway, so I'm not sure whether this is better or worse. But in the same way, it's not that you... It's like... Is it usher to go fight war because you might kill someone and there's an issue of lo sertzach? So the answer is that by the very definition, war means the suspension to some extent of lo sertzach. So even to the extent that there's an issue of loeg l'rasha doing mitzvos, the assumption is what you do with the mace is you bury the mace in a cemetery. That's the whole point. Okay, thank you. Okay, that's not even a question worthy of Rav Yirmiyah. Yes, Yossi.
Just to clarify, I know Yossi said this like five times.
It means it's not nice when the relatives are busy doing mitzvahs when they should be, looks like they should be maybe attending to the needs of the dead, even if they're not necessary. Maybe not. Whereas, if it should be mamish, they should be misasik in the kavurui pot to them, so you could have argued that's only if they're needed. If they're not really not needed, then maybe they should be chai.
So those are the traditions.
Two reasons that are given for it, yes. Yehuda?
That was my question. Why is it mutter to bury them in front of other dead people?
Obviously, I understood that. I understood that, but the point is that's the definite word of cemeteries. But every basic course is going to be limited to one person? Okay, enough said. Besides, the other Mason are happy. They're getting company. So, the real answer to that klatz kasha, even though it's a klatz kasha, is that doing mitzvahs, when you do a mitzvah that doesn't need to be done in the cemetery, so that's mocking the dead. The whole point is that bury a mace in a cemetery. It's its very definition. It's what you're saying when I read Kriyat Shema in front of the mace is, haha, I can read Kriyat Shema, you can't. You know, when you bury a dead person, you don't bury them, you bury them in the cemetery because that's where you're supposed to bury them. That's what the other mason expect. Okay. Yes.
So if you're in front of a dead person and you... Does that mean you're putter from saying Kriyat Shema?
You're not. If you have to be there to watch him, yes.
Okay, so if you're just there, I don't know.
If you can step away, then you have to step away. So that's temper. That you can. That's the Mishnah in Brachos, right? Yes, Yitzi.
So when you do work in a hospital, does this apply to non Jewish patients or Jewish patients?
I'm going to answer the question, yes. There's a machlokas whether or not, and there's no mitzvah upon Jews to bury non-Jews except for the tumah shoes, except for Mishrum Darkei Shalom, but which is not even fully true. There really is a mitzvah to bury non-Jews, especially in Eretz Yisrael, because there's Lo Sullin. Lo Sullin, it's clear from the Pesukim and Yoshua, applies even to non-Jews. Mistama, it's not appropriate to mock a non-Jew either. Oh, you want to say because then?
I understand eating. Like, okay, say it.
Could be.
Are you talking about the sky?
It's probably not an appropriate place to do it anyway. So, Daniel.
When it comes to achila, Aruch says if you have no other choice, you can be machzir upon avo ochel. Would you say the same thing with Kriyat Shema? If the zman is about to end or something, and there's nobody else around.
If you're an onain, no. An onain is pata from
A shomer.
No. If the shomer is osek b'mitzvah in that case, he's still pata b'mitzvah. There's no reason to do that.
But isn't it efshar l'kayim shneihem?
It's not efshar l'kayim shneihem. He's going to be mavatel his mitzvah. If you want to argue that b'zman hazeh, you really don't need shmira, that's a separate argument. But if you're talking about someone who's truly needed to be taken care of, someone who's digging for the mace, we don't say that he should stop digging at the end of the zman, say kriya shma, and resume digging. He's supposed to keep digging.
If you assume that shmira is necessary in b'zman hazeh, and you're sitting in the same room with him, then you're saying that if you're not looking at it, that's not Shmira, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. The Avil is allowed to eat because it's assumed to be a basic human need, but mitzvahs you don't do. All right, so the Shulchan Aruch continues. may save the ochel. Oh, by the way, afilu be'ir acheres. Even if he's in a different city, and this is a rejection of Rabbeinu Tam Shita already. Like the Rush, who said Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbeinu Tam, as I said before, when his sister died, he said that he was in another city. So it's a mashma, the Aruch Hashulchan says, had he been in that town where she died, he went to eaten basar and drank wine, because he was in another city, and he said, her husband is mechuyev in his kvura, in her kvura, therefore, I'm not an onim. It's not mutal of the kovro. And the Rush disagreed, and he asked the kasha, it's interesting, his kasha was, then all the krovim will say that the yorshim are chayiv, the yorshim who yarshin her ksuba, she didn't have a husband, he had died already, the yorshim who inherit her ksuba, they're mechuyev in her kvura. So then you should always say that if the yorshim are chayiv to bury her, I'm patur, I don't have to be an onay. So the truth is, it's actually not analogous, the Rush's kasha. But here you have to learn ksubas. What's the difference between the yorshim's obligation to bury, let's say, the woman, who their mother, who they're inheriting, and the husband's obligation to bury his wife, if he's alive? The difference is that if the yorshim want to walk away and not be involved in the burial, mitzad, the fact that their yorshim inherit the money, that's okay. We might take the money and use it for the burial, but it's not their chiyuv because they're inheriting. They're not chayiv to take care of the burial, more so than any other krovim. Right? That really means the financial things. The expectation was, you know, who's going to take care of the burial? The ones who stand to benefit. Right? Whereas a husband is mechuyev b'kfuras ishto. It is his personal obligation. It was as part of the Tanai Ksuba in exchange for, I think, being your Yorishar. He is mechuyev, even if she has zero money. If a woman dies and she has zero money, her Yorshim aren't any more chayiv at her kfura than anybody else. Okay, mitzad that, but let's say it wasn't the sons. Let's say with the siblings who were inheriting. Right? If they didn't inherit nothing, normally it would be their chayiv if they're inheriting. It becomes incumbent upon them to no children. But if there's no money, they're not obligated more than anybody else. Whereas a husband, his wife can have no money. He can have no money. He can be yoish nothing from her. You know, that might have been in her name only. He's still chayiv to bury her. So the difference between Rabbeinu Tam saying that my sister's husband has to bury her versus to say my sister's sons. As the Rush's kasha was not as mochar kasha. But anyway, we don't pass it like Rabbeinu Tam. And the assumption is that a person remains ba'aninus as long as the mace hasn't been buried. The question is if in theory they could participate in the burial and the embalming, but they're not because they're in another place. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that if he got the telegraph, you know, that the mace died, so then he's baninus until he can assume, he may not get another telegraph, that they've actually buried the mace, and then his aninus ceases and he starts avelus. Okay, so anyway, the Einam Avarech Birchas Amotzi, this I'm told by Onanim, by Avelim, is one of the hardest things, actually. The idea that you sit and eat food, and you don't make a bracha, and you don't bench, and you don't do any of those things. You can do, and you maybe should do Netilas Shadayim beforehand, some of the Achronim say, because that's Exerim in the Rabbanon. Onanim are Pturim from Mitzis Asay only, not from Mitzis Los Asay. And Onanim doesn't get to say, I'm Patim in a Mitzis. I've been dying for that cheeseburger, or that ham sandwich. No, it doesn't work that way. They're only Pturim from Mitzis Asay. So some say, Mayim Achronim the Chayivin, because it's Sakana, it has nothing to do with Mitzis. And my Mishonim the Chayivin, because it's Exerim Mishonim Srach Truma. So you would wash until you're Sedayim, but you don't make a bracha, and you don't make Hamotzi, and you eat them. The Avelim say it's very, very, very strange for them to be in that experience where you just don't do the things that you normally instinctively do. Matt?
So, this kind of is the same question that I asked before. Like, do we suggest to them maybe don't eat bread? No.
I mean, there is a Yushalmi that says they should. The one thing they can't do is eat. They can't eat meat or drink wine. The Yushalmi does suggest they shouldn't eat lesava. I don't think it's because the Birch Sama is an issue. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, and others say, the Babli seems to not hold of that din. We would not say to them, do not eat bread. No. The answer is no. They eat what they want to eat, and they don't make brachos. That's all the way it is.
Maybe I'll just have chicken.
Matt, you're sounding like my sons on occasion. Which part of no do you not understand? No. You don't. They eat what they want to eat. Even if they were chayim in Birchas HaMazon Min HaTorah, the chayim oker davar min HaTorah b'shevi al tasa. Presumably, they're not going to, they probably not going to eat kesudah shlomo melch, kedei sav sviya. But there's no restriction offered on that, except for that Yerushalmi. But I don't know, and you're suggesting what might be a novel interpretation, which is maybe the Yerushalmi is thinking about the Chiyuv Birch Samas and Daraisim. I don't think so. Daniel?
Could there be any type of situation where they incurred a Chiyuv beforehand that somehow is still...
Yes, but they made a way to do it. So that's the case. There are many who say that if the mace died Motzei Shabbos, after Shabbos, but they hadn't davened Marib yet, and then they die, and then it might, then certainly, if you bury the mace before sunrise, you would daven Marib. Some even want to say you do Tashlumin on that, because you win the Schayev already.
And you would do Tashlumin until
by Birchas HaMazon, by the way, there are Atzmach Lokas Achronim. Pischei Tshuva quotes those who say that if you ate and you're still, the mazon was not misakel b'meyav yet. In other words, if you bury the mace, and it's now within, let's say, the 72 minutes, well, that may not be a correct shear or not, of finishing eating, you would bench then. Why? Because the mazon's not ma'ukal yet. And others disagree and say it's wrong. Said you want, the chiyuv comes when you eat, maybe when you finish eating, and therefore if you want chayiv, then you're not chayiv later. Some also say in asher yatzar, if you went to the bathroom before, you make a bracha asher yatzar after you bury the mace. I doubt that that's the practice, if only because I doubt anybody thinks about it.
Tashlumin lasts until when? Meaning, if you didn't say Marv, let's say Motzei Shabbos.
Well, you can only do Tashlumin in the Shachris period, in Tefillas generally. You can only do Tashlumin in the next...
So, presumably, if the crew is 2 days later, then...
But there's not a Shaila. You wouldn't, of course you're not going to. You can't... It doesn't matter what the reason for the onus is. You can only make up a Tefillah in the next Tefillah. Danny?
In the event that there's a lav which manifests itself in a lesson, like, for example, let's tell me about Safir's Tavarim, but
yeah.
Like I was suggesting, I think improperly more considered it was a little bit, which is, I think, a bad example for a number of reasons.
Well, Selen's a terrible example, because you'll be potter from it because you're not being ma'ake v'schar b'chinam. Okay, but go ahead.
Sorry.
Lo Sullen is a terrible example because it's not going to be Lo Sullen if you're an aninus, because the it's only Lo Sullen if the poel is tovei you and you just have the money and just choose not to do it. But if one were to argue, it may not be appropriate for you to do it because you don't engage in your malacha and your business when you're noning, because you have to take care of tzarchei mace, so you might be potter legamri. It might not be Lo Sullen, is my point.
If
the mace dies, and therefore my expectation is that taking care of the tzarech hames or docha, all other things, I won't violate Lo Sullen by definition. Because Lo Sullen is only when I'm doing a pechinim. If I don't have money, I might be scummy, but if I don't have money to pay my workers, I don't violate Lo Sullen. It's only when I have the money and I choose not to pay them. So this might be a case where once you become an onain and you have to be asa b'tzarech hames, I'm not choosing not to pay them.
Fine. So let's say we could think of an applicable example. I'm having trouble thinking one at the moment. Where you have a lav with self and a kumasa.
Lo sama al dam reyacha.
No,
that's not. Except for the problem is, of course, you're going to be chayim lo sama reyacha because pikoch nefesh is doch everything.
Right.
Even I mean sukum vaser.
What? That's also a
decision.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that should be one.
What's that?
Leave the korban pesach before the next morning. You have to eat it, and you're not allowed to leave it out until the next morning.
Right. In other words, I'm not just
one second. You mean the mace died before Pesach? You're not only in Doraisa anymore.
I'm not asking.
Okay. You just stepped on a landmine? Excuse me, Gail. So there's no aninus on Yom Tov in that case. Okay.
I mean, I'm trying to probe whether it's like whether it functions as a whether it functions like as a tour.
I think it's mitzvah sase b'kium, I think I suspect that's what it is.
But if we understand it more as like, or if we understand it sort of generally as a tour from doing mitzvos, as opposed to, something that, like,
I think
let's say something along the line, like, mitzvah.
I think the things you see listed cover much of the list, not all of it, but I think the ritual mitzvos, the yitzur that you'd violate, that it would be Lo Sullen, that there would be a violation of Sullen, maybe you would, and if not for the question of Malacha, and you're supposed to Otzer Chemes, so you could, it wouldn't violate, I believe if you paid your workers, it wouldn't violate that you did a mitzvah saseh, if you're not allowed to voluntarily do it, it would violate, you're supposed to be, engaged Otzer
Chemes. Here's a great example, right, you're based as officer of, like, taking people down from the gallows after their hangs. And...
Well, that's to avoid violating a los ase.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to.
Ah, but there's also an ase there. Ki kavartik berenu bayamahu.
That's the problem with most with most lavin where there's kabase, there's also an asay.
Anyway,
actually
I don't know. So. You know, see?
The phrase, ba'inan she'eno mitau rebach, what does that mean?
What?
Of the ruach.
Yes.
It means
okay. The wind doesn't blow it up.
So it has to be like
tied down. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch continues. Upatum again. Einam varach berachas hamotzi v'lo berachas hamazon. Right, Mathis would just prove that you're wrong anyway, because why would you have, if you're not supposed to eat that which would be mechayev you in berachas hamazon? So then, why would you have to tell us that you don't make berachas hamazon? Tell us don't eat bread. V'ein mevarachan alav v'lo mezamnan alav. Afilu mochal amacherim shemevarachem lo yana achareim amen. Upatum mikol mitzvos hamuras b'torah. V'afilu. Va'afilu im eino tzarach lasso p'tzarach ha'emes, kigon sheyesh lo'acherim sh'oskim b'shvila. Right, now v'yeshom, sh'afilim yitzalach ma'atzma l'varach olano samein achar mevarachim, eino rashai. Now this is very interesting, because the way the Mechaber presents it, it sounds like that the first day is yinachai to do these things, but you can if you want. And v'yeshom rim, that you're not allowed to, which is odd, because that means that he would be making the primary daya is the first one, which is Enone is allowed to do mitzvahs. Now the Rambam, the Beis Yosef does say it's mashra from the Rambam that way, like Rashi, but we don't assume that it's mutar, just not you're not chayev. But we, the practice is Onanim are not allowed to do mitzvahs, like the Siyeshom and the Shulchan Aruch. The truth is, the first half he's not befeirish like Rashi and the Rambam. He just kind of left it open. It says Siyeshom and Shafilim Mitzalachem Atzolam Acham Baruchem in a Rasha. Uveshabbos v'yom tov ochal basar v'shosa yayin. On Shabbos, there none of the dinim v'anim supply a mirza. As the Shach says, and following the Ramah, you're not chayiv to eat basar on Shabbos. It doesn't even say in the Shulchan Aruch that you're chayiv to eat basar on Yom Tov. Actually, some of the Achronim at the end of the fourth chayiv of the Mishnah Berurah makes such a claim. Let's say a person likes other things better, not so pashut, but on Shabbos certainly there's no mitzvah of basar per se on Shabbos. It's only Shabbos, whatever you like best.
Didn't the Shulchan Aruch say Yom Tov, the same rules for owning Shabbos apply for Yom Tov?
I don't know. In other words, nonetheless, the question is it might be the same general rules, but maybe Yom Tov is a special mitzvah in meat. It certainly did when there was a Beis HaMikdash, but it's not so pashut when there isn't.
Didn't you mention both Basa and Yom
Tov?
Where?
It doesn't say Basa.
Regarding?
It doesn't say by Yom Tov that you have to.
Regarding Yom Tov.
It does. I believe it doesn't say beferish on Yom Tov, but some of the Achronim.
Shabbos,
no, I don't. Shabbos. There's no specific mitzvah seyayin. It's supposed to be mechabed Shabbos for things that are oneg, but it's not dafka mitzvah and basar. Yom Tov might be dafka mitzvah and basar according to some. Yes. It includes fowl. The Achronim. Some of the Achronim say that tavshil shel basar is okay. I think tavshil shel basar might mean like chicken soup, without chicken in it. This is one reading of the Bavli, that those who argue that an onin is not actually aser b'tashmish, he's putter from having to fill the mitzvah onah, but it's not aser. And on Shabbos, it's a machlokas atama on whether or not he's chayev or he doesn't have to do the mitzvah onah. But many to be shown and read it know that of course an onin is aser b'tashmish shamita when he's an onin, and on Shabbos, it's a machlokas whether it's mutter or aser, because it's a davar shebetzina. This is the Brice in Brachos, in the beginning of the third para.
If it was veiled tefillah, would that make a difference?
No. We assume it's aser. Umutter leilech lebeis haknesses b'Shabbos v'ach b'cholim bo'isser rak me'achar she'aser l'spal ma'yas Hashem. Why would you go to the beis haknesses? Now, why would you think it's aser? So you have to fast forward a moment to the second to last sif in this in the Simen, which is what Isurim are there upon an Onain with respect to Avelus. We know there's no Isur Nilas HaSandal or Chalitas Kasev by an Onain. But the question is, do the Isurim of Avelus generally apply in Aninus or not? In other words, the Gemara in Brachos lists a bunch of things that the Shulchan Aruch quotes. What about Rechitza and Sicha? Is Rechitza v'Sicha Asur Tin Onain? So it's a Machlokas HaRishonim. The Rambam and some of the Gaonim say that no, only the things that are listed in the Braisa, all the other dinim of Avelus are mutter to an onin. The Ramban says, no, of course they're asur to an onin. The only thing that's mutter to an onin are certain isurim that the Chachamim did not impose upon an onin because they would interfere with his ability to take care of the needs of the burial. So to have to not wear shoes, to have to, you know, to be choleitz kasef. So those are things that an onin is not... he doesn't have to do those things because they would interfere in his going about his regular activities to take care of the burial. But all other things like Sheila Shalom, Rechitza, Sicha, Tisporas, Emelacha, and Onein is Asarin. Okay? Not Chalitza Zakase, sorry. Chalitza Smin al Basandal. Okay, no, fine. No Atipa Sarosh, you don't have to be Kofa the Mythos, but you can't sit on a Mita, even a Mita Kfuya. Okay, so anyway, so here the Ramah says there's no Isser of going to Shul. You know, Isser of Miyotze Mipesach Beso and going to Shul, but why would you go to Shul if you can't daven and say Kaddish? Incidentally, on Shabbos is a Machlokes Saposkim, whether or not an Onain should say Kaddish if they haven't done the burial yet. I think the proper practice is that one should not.
But they should go to Shul.
Yes. They should daven, yes. Yes, but they should not recite Kaddish. Not because they can't recite Kaddish, but because Kaddish is not until after the Kfura. Kaddish is because of it. What? They are on Shabbos. They're not counted during the week. During the week, they wouldn't be counted. Okay. V'im tzarach l'hashach alatchum. So here, just a backstory here. The Babli says that there's no aninus on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Yushalmi suggests that there is aninus on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov you can bury the first day of the Yaakov, and on Yom Tov Sheni you can bury the Yisrael, and on Shabbos you can be Machshech al Atrum. So the question is, how do you put the Babli and Yushalmi together? So there were a few different possibilities that were offered. There were three, but only two come to mind immediately. One was the Machlokas between the Babli and Yushalmi, in which case we would ignore the Yushalmi and we assume there's never aninus on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But the Rush himself suggests, no, that there's no Machlokas between the Babli and Yushalmi. The Babli is talking about a case where you have no intention of doing anything for the Mesa on Shabbos and Yom Tov, then there's no aninus on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But in a case where your intent was to be Machshech, when you be Machshech al Tum, or if you're planning on burying the Mesa, therefore you need to take care of the Tzarchei HaMes on Yom Tov Sheni, or even if it's for the purposes of helping the Goyim, you can't do Malacha, but helping the Goyim bury the Mesa Yom Tov Rishon, so then in Echonami, you would be an Onein. That's what the Yushalmi is talking about. There was a third opinion, I forget what the third opinion is. Beis Yosef quotes three resolutions. Matt? Lahashik means when it's getting dark, you go to the edge of the Tum, so as soon as Shabbos is over, you can cross the Tum to get what you need to get.
And so you have to be there when it gets dark, then you would go back, and so that now you could go there by the end of Shabbos.
You can go to the end of the Tum on Shabbos, so that as soon as Shabbos is over, you're ready to go get Tzarech HaMes done. That's being Machshech al HaTum. That's how the Shulchan Paschim is that way. If you are engaged, so Dizman Azeh, we pretty much don't do any of this because we don't do any of stuff on Shabbos.
Why would we not Paschim like this?
Well, you could say that no, it's a Machlokas Babli and Yushalmi. We Paschim like the Babli. There's no Aninus on Shabbos on Yom Tov, even if you were planning on doing things, because you can't really bury the mace straight out. What's that?
It's the Sarach Mitzvah, so that wouldn't be a problem on Shabbat, would
it? No, I'm not saying that it's. I'm not saying that it's Aser Dizman Azeh, but we just don't do it.
No, I'm saying, but why would we not Paschim like this day?
Because there's another sheet that would say that even if you are being Machshech al HaTum, the Bavli holds, you're still Chayv in Mitzvahs. I mean, if it's not interfering with what you're doing, in other words, you're not an Onein. Just because you're doing quasi Tzarchik, in other words, you can't do all the Tzarchik HaMeis on Shabbos, but you can hear a few things, but they would say that the Bavli holds, if it's Shabbos, there's no Aninus, period. That's why you wouldn't Paschim like the Rosh. If you would offer one of the other Terutzim.
He's just prepared.
What's that? Yes, but he's not called Onin. That's all.
Now, if you're writing a eulogy, or you're thinking about what you want to say, is that considered being Osik B'Tzarech HaMeis, and that you could do on Shabbos, perhaps?
You can barely. We would say that you become an Onin because of that. You're allowed to think about it. Tzarech Mitzvah, certainly.
So you're allowed to think about it.
But I don't think we would say that that means you're an Onin.
Why not?
Starters, it's not Tzarchei HaKvura. It's different Tzarachim.
No, but don't we say in other contexts that even if you fully gave up the body, if you're still dealing with Hespedim or something, you're writing down Hespedim for the funeral, you would still be an Onin?
Doesn't say so anything I've seen written that way. Hmm. I don't think so. Okay. So the Shorah says, Tzarach l'hachshach al-atchum k'dei l'hachshach b'tzarach ha-mit.
So
that's a good question. The Gemara Yerushalmi says Masar Lakatafim. So then you are not chayv anymore. So the answer is, and I think the Aruch HaShulchan, the Yehuda, will talk about this. Is that the Aruch HaShulchan talks about it extensively? He thinks Masar Lakatafim means only when, I didn't know the Yehuda says this already. Only when you're not going to the kavura. In other words, Masara Lakatafim would be like, if one relative, or even no relatives, are going to Eretz Yisrael, once they turn their backs from the plane, and the plane is off, the mace is now in the hands of others, you don't need to wait till the kavura in order, you're done with the matter, and therefore your avela starts. Right. Once it's going a distance to another city. But if you're, just because the Chevra Kadisha is handling things, aside from the fact in many cases the Avelim are still involved, even though the Chevra Kadisha does the heavy lifting, nonetheless, as long as they're still going to go to bury the mace, then the interest doesn't stop.
But that's one of the explanations I heard, that even if you assume, even if the Chevra Kadisha does qualify as
Chatafim,
and still, if you're dealing with Hespedim or something, then that's why you would still be an Omer.
I don't think so. If you're dealing with, if you're going to go bury the mace, if they're handling it now, but you're going to go to the cemetery where you're involved, or have some other kind of real involvement in the Kuras HaMace, then that's why it's not, Bizman HaZeb, the Avelim are not done when they hand it off to the Chevra Kadisha. They're going to the cemetery, they're not because they're giving a Hespedim, even if it's Yom Tov, Chol Moed, and they're acting properly, not giving a Hespedim, they're still owning him.
So what about a karov that's not going to the cemetery?
So that's a separate question. When does the avela start for that person? But the aninus is going to be over once they turn their backs. We, in our context, when they're going to another city, typically we assume that when they've been engaged up until a certain point and now they're done and they go back,
And they're not going to the funeral.
They're not going to the cemetery. It's in another place. So then. Their aninus ends then. And for us, typically, they also start sitting shiva then. Right? The one who goes with the mace doesn't start sitting shiva until the kvura. But the one who doesn't go with the mace starts sitting shiva once they turn their backs.
Then would two kvura have, like, different...
Yes. Yes. We'll get to deal with that eventually. But yes. Correct. Yossi?
When the Shulchan Aruch says, Lassar Bichulan, that means to prohibit him from performing all mitzvah say now.
He's not, in other words, if he's going to engage in Hashach al Tchum on Shabbos, then once he decides to do that, when it comes to the end of Shabbos and it's time to start walking, he's an Onan. He doesn't do mitzvahs anymore. Mishar Shamaschil Leleches Kedei L'Hashach al Tchum. V'imrotze L'Kavar B'yam Tarishon Le'i Amimim. Aser B'chulan. Why? Because he's got to give, they have to help the Kovrei Yakum to know exactly where everything is. The kosher came me out of Sheni Shubatzma Yachal Kavur Shachalav Dine called in Aninus. And the Ramah says a din which the Chashochan quotes that it's not the minhag anymore. The Yeshomim the Talmud al Rabba Muvakas Ulachabatzer V'yayin Kozman Shemutol Fneim. There is an interesting shach here in Sivkat Antes. They quote the Maril, who quoted the Marash, that a mace who died on Shmini Atzeres in the evening, that you make Kiddush Simchas Torah night. And the way the Maharil understood it was that since you can't be engaged in burying the mace at night, therefore the Aninus doesn't start on Yom Tov until later. And the Shach took issue with this, because if that were true, he said, if it's just because you can't bury at night, then every night, if you can't bury at night, right? In the cemeteries, it doesn't matter when you want to bury, if the union workers won't dig after a certain point, or won't open things up at a certain point, you got to wait till the next day, you have no choice. We don't say you do not own a night because you can't do anything. So the Shach says no. The Marash must hold that there is aninus. There's no aninus at all on Yom Tov. In other words, not like the Rosh's Teretz, but he holds like the Bavli. There's no aninus at all on Yom Tov. And the Aruch HaShulchan just says no. You can say that there's aninus on Yom Tov, provided that you, in other words, when the Chachamim goes there to have aninus on Yom Tov, if you're going to actually bury the Mesa Yom Tov, they were on Yom Tov. They only go there during a time that people would bury, not on the earlier parts of Yom Tov. Anyway,
does that apply for Shabbat as well, or no?
According to the, in theory, should be the same thing for Shabbos as well.
It's like you can do the Kura via non-Jews on Yom Tov Sheni.
Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni Yisrael and Tzkun himself.
Right. So, maybe we can remind you why.
Because of Kavar HaMeis and Nival HaMeis, the Chacham will make on Yom Tov Rishon, but only on Day Akum, and on Yom Tov Sheni, Yom Tov Sheni, the Gavay Meis, Kechol Shabir Rabbanu, because the Meis would decompose. It's a Nival HaMeis. What?
Why is this mitzvah trumping? Usually you need like a double shulchan.
So Kavar HaMeis was a really big issue for them. It's a very big issue for them. So much so that even though you're not allowed on Yom Tov, Yom Kippur or Shabbos to bear Ayyidei Akum, but the Chacham will mock it in the calendar to make sure you didn't have Shabbos and Yom Kippur back to back. And one of the two reasons the Gemara gives him is Mishum Messiah. So there's enough to really warp and distort the calendar a little bit because Kavod HaMeis is such a big deal.
Why couldn't you just do it through non-Jews and keep the calendar so that you can on Shabbos?
So there's some reason there is this concept that you don't bury a Meis on Shabbos, you don't have even a Yom Kippur, even Ayyidei Goy, because the fact that Shabbos is being mischalal, even Ayyidei Goyim, in order to bury this person is somehow considered not a Kavod HaMeis. I think that's the svara. Why not a Yom Tov Rishon? I don't know. On Yom Tov Rishon, at least, there are lots of malachas that are permitted. So this is just one more thing you're permitting. You say, Tzor Hiyot HaBan Shabbos, Yom Kippur. All malachas are prohibited. And therefore, if it's being done for this guy, it's a Bizayon HaMeis, that Yom Tov and Yom Shabbos and Yom Kippur are being mischalel because of the Meis.
So why is it not issue then?
Yeah.
You have Shabbos and Yom Tov that also come back.
So you bury on Yom Tov, Ayideyamim.
Yeah, so it's
you don't want 2 days of Shabbos in which you can't have any burial, even Ayyidei Goy, in a row. You're not worried about Yom Tov and Shabbos and Luchum Zalazel, because you can always bury within one day, either the day you're on or the day after.
So Shabbos is also you can bury even Ayyidei Akum.
Correct, but Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Kippur as well. But Yom Tov Rishon is Mut Ayyidei Akum, Yom Tov Shein Ayyidei Yisrael.
And you just said that Shabbos should have the same din as Yom Tov Rishon.
No, well, I'm asking why not. The answer is because Yom Tov Rishon probably, we say it on Shabbos, it's a bizayon ha-meis that Shabbos was nischal b'shvila. Why not say the same thing on Tov Rishon and prohibit Ayyidei Akum because Yom Tov HaRishon will be nischal b'shvila? The answer is, it's not the same thing on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov, there are many malachas which are mutter, so it's not quite as much of a chilul Yom Tov, even though we don't allow these malachas. Okay. Let me just make sure I cover all the bases. There's a discussion, what about a nefel within 30 days, is there an aninus? There's no avelus, but maybe you only say alachak di b'ameko b'avel. Okay, spoke about that. Yes, the Noda de Yehuda suggests that rotev shobasar, chicken soup, should be permissible, I think, for no name. Okay, we spoke about Ma'ar Mishom and Achronim.
Who says that?
What?
Who says that?
Noda de Yehuda. Gimel on the Pischei Tshuva. I'm just scanning them now to make sure that any that I wanted to mention. I spoke about Nisakel, Hamazon B'meyav, and the Ashayatzar. Yes, and I mentioned yesterday, what does it only do for Sira? The answer is he counts Derech Sira, not for the mitzvah. He just says, today is the 12th day of the Omer, I'm going to wear that and move on. And then, it is if the Anina spans from over a 24-hour period, you know, even maybe more than a 24-hour period, where he completely misses a day, so he can count that day without a bracha, not as the mitzvah, just the sphere beyond, I think is the expression. Okay? If a person has... What? So it means that even though he didn't do 49 mitzvahs, it means he counted every day.
But why does it help the issue of violating?
Because you know, he's not doing it l'shem mitzvah. He's doing it in effect to allow, he's doing it so a count isn't broken. That's all. So you can do the mitzvahs on the other days. The language is,
is it only wear tzitzis?
What?
Is it only wear tzitzis?
There's no reason for an onan to wear tzitzis.
There's no what?
Reason that an onan should put on tzitzis.
Should
you shouldn't.
Them off if you...
I don't think he's mechuyev to take them off, but certainly he's going to change at some point for the levaya. He shouldn't put the tzitzis on.
But he's not doing the shame mitzvah.
Just the shame warmth? In the stomach he can.
It's the same rule, right?
Right, and technically if you want to wear the beged, but you don't make a bracha, so...
But we don't say, what
would
about
you
the...
want to do that? Like, that's an option, like, tab open, because, like, you're just putter and bracha. Like, shouldn't you refrain as much as... or no?
No, I mean, but he doesn't need to wear the bag. He wants the bag, keeps him warm. He can wear the bag, keeps him warm. It's got tzitzis on him, so what? Yes.
When did we say it's usur to do it? Why is that not the case with tzitzis?
Again, if you're wearing it just because you wear a beged. In other words, putting on talis katan isn't doing the mitzvah tzitzis. Putting talis katan is wearing a beged. This beged happens to be chayv tzitzis. So it happens to have tzitzis on it. Let's say I walk around with a suit. It happens to have tzitzis on it.
You shouldn't either remove the beged or remove the strings.
I don't think you have to, or not. I don't think you have to do either. You can leave it.
Okay, but when you change, then you're going to say it's also to put the
beged on. No, I say it's, but it's certainly no reason to have to put it on. Unless he wants it because it keeps him warm. That's all. Okay.
If you were a
four-pronged
garment without tzitzis?
Yeah, you're being mevatel mitzvah,
I say. No, but that's okay for...
For donan, yes, it should be. There's no isser of putting on a four-garment.
So you have the second finish
the kippurah? Probably. So it's a good idea not to put it on before. Okay. Fine, there's a discussion in the Achronim about people who had a yortzeit motzei Shabbos for their parent, and then their sibling passed away, or something like that, where they had this, and their argument is they wanted to daven for the amud because the yortzeit motzei Shabbos. A discussion. Pashtus is they shouldn't. Okay, bris milah seems the weight of the number of shitas, whether or not the man has to do a bris milah for his son, whether they should do the kivura first or the milah first. The Ramban at Shuv, I think, says that if the father... I don't remember what the Rama said true, but some Achronim say that if the father's not the Moel, then they do the Mila first, and someone else makes the Brach Lachnis of Risa Shalma Avinu. But if the father's the Moel, they should do the Kfur first, and then do the Mitzvah. But others say, no, you always do the Mila first. Yes? What's that?
If you want to name the child after the Nifter, so that doesn't make sense, like bury the first.
Who says you can't name it after Nifter? You can't bury the Nifter. They don't raise that issue. They don't raise that issue. Okay.
I don't understand, Rabbi. If it's the father's theme to give the son a bris, so why are we doing the mila first?
I didn't see what's the reason why the mila takes kadima. But the assumption is, in principle, it does. I don't know if it's because tzarchei achayim versus tzarchei amesim. I'm not sure.
But the father's not saying that bracha.
There's like bikur chol... I'm sorry, what? Yeah?
The father's saying that bracha...
He wouldn't. Somebody else would say it.
Why? It is the father's chiyuv.
It's his father's chiyuv to make sure the child is gemalt. But he doesn't have a mitzvah right now. But nonetheless, for some reason, they prefer to do the milah before.
We say in that circumstance that the mitzvah is on Beis Din at that point.
That's what it sounds like.
The father's mitzvah right now?
A little bit like that. Yes, you hear that?
The father was sick for a long time. He just got better in some way. I think it was a natural cure of a hemophilia, so he could give himself a milah next. And it's really a mitzvah for himself. Would we still say it has kadima?
Gail, you've almost survived the year with me. Okay. All right. Right, and Onein Sam Mitzdare for the minion. I am running through Pesachei Tshuvas right now. That's what I've been quoting at you. So the machlok is whether you say Kaddish before the Kfura on Shabbos. I think the practice is we recommend against it.
No.
That's in Sifkatan Yudalid.
Where was the Mila?
What? Mila? One second. Where's the Mila one? Hold on. I just saw it before. I don't see it right now, but it's in here. I don't want to take the time now to find it. Fine. Siv Beis. Mishamesh lo meis b'Shabbos yochal b'motzei Shabbos b'lo havdala b'lo yispalel b'lo baboker kodem kvura alacha kvura yispal tila shachar sim lo varzmana v'al tila serv lo yispal shakvar avarzmana. And you were actually potter then. You weren't onos. You were actually potter from the mitzvah. V'lo dami l'shachach v'ospal arvishim yispal shachar shtayim kevim shabalayla lo hechayev l'yispalel. You weren't chayev as an onay. The question is discussed at Big Machlokas, the Shach and the Taz, whether or not someone is Osef B'Tzorchei Tzibur and misses Zman Tefillah because they're supposed to be engaged in Tzorchei Tzibur, the need to the Rabbim, or whether or not they're supposed to do Tashlumen. And the Drisha writes the same thing, it's like an Onay. And the Taz takes issue with it, but the Shach, and the Kusa Kesef says that the Drisha is correct, that fundamentally speaking, there's a difference between Pater and Onos. And a person who is Osek B'Tzorchei Rabbim is not Onos, he is Potter. Whereas in other words, someone who was sick and couldn't daven, that's Onos. Right? You would say the person was Chayav, they weren't able to do it. Someone was Torah, they were unable to do it. But someone who's Osek B'Tzorchei Rabbim, Osek B'Mitzvah is Mamish Potter and a Mitzvah, just like the Onin is Potter and a Mitzvah for different reasons. And that's why they would be popular. This is not something that probably comes up very often, but this is one of the places it's discussed. Ulein Abdullah Yavdil Achashi Kaver Hames up until the Shah says the end of Tuesday. What?
Maybe you should explain again, why is it that he's not, that the person who's Osi Kitzaki Rabbim is not just Potter?
He's not just Onus, he's Potter. That's the dinner, Osi B'Mitzvah's Potter and a Mitzvah.
So what would be... So it's not unique to
Tzorchei Rabbim. You'd have to have a mitzvah that would be docha davening. Normally, mitzvahs aren't docha davening.
What was the
habit?
Any mitzvah which I'm involved in, which is going to take a long time, the entire time it takes to fill the time frame of
shachrit
or whatever.
Yeah, the question is, are you supposed to, which one has kedima? The point is that Tzorchei Tzibur are docha, the Gemara and Shabbos says in the Vesper, are docha kriya shma tefillah.
Whichever one I'm involved in first.
No, not necessarily so, no.
Why would I drop the mitzvah I'm currently involved in?
It depends on what the mitzvah is. Talmud Torah, for example. Talmud Torah, you have to stop, right? You don't say, oh, mitzvah is by Talmud Torah. There aren't so many cases of things that are going to take you more than the Zman, right? You have to find. That's why Tzorchei Rabbim. There's a story that was told about, I think it was set in Lakewood, with some, you know, Gedolim who were meeting over an issue, and some of the younger... I don't know, it was Talmidim, Rabbanim, you know, making noises, but we, and one of the Zakenim, you know, was Goerbo and said, this is Tzorchei Rabbim, you don't daven now.
During what? What was the event?
I don't know, they were engaged with some Tzorchei Rabbim that were really important, and so, you know, so...
So you're
Potter. You don't do Tashlum because you were Potter. You weren't onus. You weren't unable to daven because of your chola, because something wrong with your goof, because you were in a makom tatinofes, because that's why you were literally pater from daven, just like an onin is pater from daven. Yes.
So if at the time of shachrit you are pater because you are an onin, and then the...
And in the afternoon they bury, you don't daven shachrit.
No, but then they bury before...
Then you daven shachrit. That's what it says.
Right, but didn't we say that it's about when the...
No, the whole point is that the ikar, that the chayvus of shachrit is... The period of Shacharis.
The entire period
of Shacharis. Right? The question by Havdalah is, the clue does not have, nobody says that if you bury the mace Motzei Shabbos, you know, 3 hours after Shabbos, nobody would say that you don't make Havdalah. Everybody agrees that the Chayvus of Havdalah is not less than Leo Motzei Shabbos. It doesn't have to be the first moment. Daniel?
The Shacharit period is until Sosman Tefillah or until Havdalah?
The tefillah, they say until chatzos. So Birchas Kriya Shema, it's 4 hours. Matt?
If you want to put on tefillah, if you want
it. It's irrelevant. You can't. An Avail is part of the tefillah in Rishon.
If you haven't done Havdalah, then is it anything you do, any malacha you do now? Like,
no.
It's still Shabbat, so that's really a look.
No, it's not. It's only, our minhag is not doing malacha in Havdalah. When Shabbos is over, it's technically mutar. So we like to say Baruch Hamavim Kosh L'Chol. If that only he can't, so then it's amazing he's Mutar Malach. As soon as Shabbos is over. We do it. But if you're Pater from Havdalah and you can't do the Mitzvah Havdalah, Shabbos is over for you when Seisak HaKavim comes.
Well,
Yehuda.
Guys,
I have so many questions. Well, no, it's just that, you know, when I teach this in June's mount, I finish the shiur in an hour and 5 hours and 10 minutes, which is the framework then. Here, it's like taking my full shiur, yes.
So, this is similar to a kata case. Obviously, no one...
That's because they have much more respect for me. These smicha students aren't my regular students year round.
Obviously, we never say a kata has to pay tashlumi in his first tefillah. I think this is similar. He's a mamish patah.
Correct, yes. Yes, by the famous shahs about Katan and Sfiris. Katan becomes Bar Mitzvah and Sfiris Omer. Another one of those liminal cases. Okay. Anyway, so the practice is we make Havdalah up until the end of Tuesday. No Ner and Besamim after the first night. That's independent of this. Even though Avelos hasn't started yet, once it's no longer their obligation, it's up to the Katafim. Malcolm Shinosan Amesme in the Ear Ross as a Malcolm Karv who have a Kiilu Mutalafanova and who Malcolm Racho could go Mahal Shtam and Mutar Chevode Kvarasa. Two different cases. The first case, Masarla Katafa, means you're not going with them. And some want to say, I think, that it has to be maybe even in another city. Right, so the in Sifkat and Khafalov, the Pisre Chuba quotes in the Yehuda, he thinks, firstly, obviously, if they can drink basar and drink yain and basar, the chayiv mitzvahs too. And then he says that nitsa lekatafim, it only works when they're taking the mace to a faraway place and the onin is not going with them. But if the krovim are also going, then mesira does not work, certainly for the krovim who are going. Right. So he says, for that reason, the minhag is where we live, is that the onanim don't daven until after the kura, even though they already agreed with the Chevra Kadisha how much they were going to pay, where the mace was going to be buried, and they paid all the expenses, they paid the bills, nonetheless, because the krovim go b'shas ha-kura, they don't daven until afterwards. If it's a faraway place, and there some krovim are not going, for them, as soon as the mace leaves, then not because of Masar Lakatafim, but could be, well, the other relatives just, then you become an avel, memeli yachayiv and mitzvahs, and you daven, and you can eat basar and drink yayin. The Ramaz din is a separate question. Let's say there's a long journey of travel that you're going with the mace and you bury him on the other end. So, someone told me a psak a couple of years ago that he was given, or someone he knew was given, that when you're flying on the plane, you're not baninus because you
can't.
Saying that, right? So I heard that, and I do not understand bichlal. I don't understand how you can.
Apparently, it's had a lot of posts and disagree with Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's against the Ramah. Ramos says if it's, you know, kigon mal shnei yamim, right? You're on the plane for 12 hours, right? If you come up with a hechatimsa.
No, yeah. I can't say what the note said.
Sure.
The note said because the assumption here in this Ramah is that during those 2 days your mind is still on it, but even though your mind may be on your matzah while you're above on the plane, since it's in the cargo hold and there's no call, nothing you can do, you can't even call. I mean, now maybe you can have a phone thing on the plane, but you used to not. You used to actually be able to do nothing up there.
Yeah, I know, but so what? You're going with the mace. That's all. If you don't get there, the mace doesn't get there. That's the way it works. What if you're the pilot of the plane? Is it different then? If you're the pilot of the plane.
Then, according to you, it should.
Everybody, Imr Shlomo Zalman, should agree you're an onin. Right? Because then you are engaged. You're driving the plane. What's that?
Probably shouldn't be doing mitzvahs while you're driving
a plane. But you eat. You know, you're supervising the thing. It's like in a movie airplane. You know, they put an autopilot. They bring in the food. That's all. Okay. Yehuda? When I'm asked that question, the answer is you're an onin on the plane.
How do you measure Mahalach Shnei Yamim? Is it the 2 8-hour days, in which case we are playing is around that much?
No, it means 48 hours.
It means 48-hour walk?
It means a journey that will, in other words, if there's more than 48 hours from the time you begin the journey to the time you end the journey,
okay, fine.
There's an Aruch HaShulchan, not here, later, where he points out that when we're going to talk about how the Avelim sit, and I don't know if it's in that Siman, about if one of the other Avelim is within a certain day journey, like a 2 day journey or 3 day journey or something of the other Avelim, and he has, you know, what, it affects the din. So he writes about the Rechav Barzal. He says in an age of when they are trains, the Aruch Shulchan says, so 2 days, the distance changes because now 2 day travel is much longer, and that's just the way it is. Common sense. Yudi.
So then, according to the Ramah, for those
2 days, you wouldn't be an onan. And then
you are an onan once it's more than 2 days.
All right, I'm saying the yes. more than 2 days you're not, and then nope. when you get to the year, you
I think
are
so.
Again?
Yeah, I think I don't think you subtract until you get to the 2 day margin. I think once you fall out of the parasha until you really get back in the parasha, you're. So if you were burying somebody on the moon, for example, and it were more than 2 day journey to the moon, so then I'd be masking that once you take off from planet Earth and you're on the way to the moon, and it's more than, I don't know how long it takes to get there, probably doesn't take that long actually, to get, and you have to do a fly around, you know, to get into the right speed and so on and so forth to prepare for landing. So if it's more than a 2 day journey to get to the moon, so during that time you're potter. Once you get to the moon, so then...
Potter, you've been doing the first 2 months?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You're potter for the whole journey. Yes.
I don't know what the Matthias was on these journeys, but could the Ramad envision a scenario where you do something for the maid, even if you're on a 10-day journey, somewhere in the middle you're doing something and the maid would come back?
I don't know. I don't think so. But you put the mace in the coffin, you're taking care of the tachrich and the tara, whatever it is, and you're on the way. It's up to the camel draw, the donkey drivers, to make sure they get going properly.
Is there more talking about a case where you're with the maid or where you're going to meet the maid somewhere?
I don't think it matters, actually. I don't think it matters. I think it's the same thing. Matt?
If it extended for more than, like, 2-3 days, but let's say it's not the case that you travel, maybe you're negotiating with terrorists to get the body back or something like that. Would we say that...
Wait! You didn't get...
I know it's the next one. I know it's the next one, but what I'm saying is, like, if something extends for a long period of time...
No, if you're negotiating with the terrorists to get him back, that's not called... You're not an onan. Owning means you have to really have the mace. If you're mamish engaged in minute-by-minute negotiation, you may be mele pata because you osei b'mitzvah. Areya, not a din of aninus. But if you are just, you know, engaged going back and forth until you have... No, it's not. You look in this case. You look at the case. Think about the case Shulchan Aruch presents.
And then what if it was not the case I just said, but whatever, it takes a long period of time to do this, so then do it then.
What do you mean it takes a long time to take care of the mace?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it was the mace, the body got in the tape, the tar. Yeah, then you're about to in a chanami.
So like 3 days, 4 days, you're not wearing tefillin.
Now that's the question, according to Ramah, if you're just waiting, then it might be the same thing as the journey. But you know, if you're waiting for Krovim to get in, you got to wait 3 days, because you know one of the Krovim was climbing Mount Everest. So by the time he gets down, you know, it's already 2 days later, and he gets on a flight, and so on. It's 4 days till he gets there. Then, Mistama, you might apply the rule of the Ramah and say that during that time period, because you've done everything you can do, and now everything's on hold. It's like it would be the same case. What happens if the authorities don't let you bury for 40 hours? So the Nodi Yehuda will say, "Where's the Nodi Yehuda say it's Sif Chapez?" We'll get to that in Pesach Shuvah. It's Tola. Sif Dalit Mish Yossi. Yes, and it's in. You don't have to travel with, but it's in process, right? In other words, you're still engaged. It's still called engage in Sarcha Mace. You're in the process of getting the mace to burial. But if the gap becomes very large, then we say that there's just a gap between the time that you're taking care of the mace and the time you actually do the kfura. Mish, again, if you were engaged in actual Sarcha Mace the entire time, I think you'd be an oni, right? But if you're just engaged in waiting, in this case, waiting for people to get in, or in the Ramah's case, waiting to get there, then that would be, you drop out of Aninus. What?
Why does he have to be 2 days, though, if you're just waiting?
I think there's a certain, because there's always waiting time. Are you going to say that when you get in the car, after the Leviathan, you get in the car, and the hearse driver is driving, you're not doing anything, you'll say that on the way to the cemetery, you're chayv anisus? Nah. It needs to be sort of a clear demarcation to end the period of Aninus, even if you don't begin the period of Avelus.
So it's pretty common, your relatives travel in, and people don't do the kura now for, you know, 5 days, whatever. It's not super common.
That's highly uncommon in from community. Highly uncommon.
For 3 days, even.
What's that? So I think that you would apply the Ramah's rule. And you apply the Ramah's rule.
3 days, except for the very beginning, maybe, or in the very end?
You would be chayav mitzvos, I think so. I'd like to check and see if the poskim write about this feirush, but that's about everything.
Is there a halachic limit, how long you're allowed to push it off, waiting for Krovim?
It's a question of balancing what's really kavod ames. Helino l'chavod was mutter. You know, how much of a kavod? Because your grandmother's 16th cousin, four times removed, wants to come to the Levaya, and she hadn't heard from in 70 years after a family feud, but they want to come. Mistama, you're not going to wait 2 minutes for that, right? If it's a third cousin, you know, six times removed, then if there is such a thing, I don't know. I'm not sure that you can have that, I think. It's better. You know, and there's some connection. Well, you know, but they used to come for family simchas. You're going to wait, you know, 3 hours? Yeah. You're going to wait 2 days? Probably not. Right? If it's one of their children, are you going to wait 3 or 4 days? Yes. You might. They might decide not to. Right? Okay. Misha meis betvisa, sifdalet. Velonita lekvura. Lochal lekrova maninus vegam avelis lochal aleim. Kevan shalon nisiayish milakovra. If a person was died in captivity or the terrorist captured and they couldn't bury him, there's no aninus and no avelis because there's no avelis because they have it, they hope to get the body back. There's no aninus because they can't do anything right now. In other words, the negotiators are potter, but nobody else is. V'cheinim krove emes betvisa, ein aninus chaleim because they can't do anything. V'cheinim shenerak bederach ogroratu chayo shatonar. And they hope to get the body back. Velonis yashu milakovra, right? The flight, Malaysia Airlines flight 390, was it? Whatever it was. Whatever it was. So that when that initially fell into the sea, if there had been, you know, Jewish people on board with relatives who were interested in Avelis, so initially there was a certain time period which they were not owning him, and they weren't Avelim, because they were hoping that the plane would be found, they get the bodies back. After a certain amount of time, you know, if it became clear, it's unlikely they were going to get the bodies back.
How long did that become clear?
I don't know. It's not an objective standard. It's when the krovim or neo nisyashim lekovro, when they've essentially given up and think that it's unlikely it's going to be found, or it will be a long time and it's time to move on. And so when they've given up basically doing anything, not because it's impossible that eventually the plane will be found, then they already will start shiva. If the mace is found later after dukfur, it may be the din and peter at samos, which is the last simon in Shulchan Aruch near there.
It's a different program could be the Jayish, a different one.
It's possible. I don't know how they figure that out, right? It's not discussed that extensively, but yes. Jail. Prison, you know, taken hostage, whatever it is. Fine. Lo din avelos. Umonim lo, shivo shloshim yom shenisiyashim lekovro. When they decide, this is, you know, we just don't know if they're ever going to get the body back, that's when you start counting from. Okay. I want to look at one piece.
No aninus.
Right. If they sat shiva and they're going to get the body, then there may be you have to look in what the din by pinoy atzamos is while they're taking malakid atzamos. You have to look at how the dinim exactly are handled there to see. But it may not be a din of aninus. There may be din of avelus of 1 day while they're engaged in it. We'll talk when we get this in Tafkimo. If you remember to drag this back in, we can talk about it then. Yes, Matt.
So if they haven't been, they're not the Irish from getting the body back.
They're still hoping to get it, yeah.
Right, and it's been like 30 days now, 31 days. So then they don't sit shiva, they don't do 30 days, and once they get the body back, they'd be in aninus.
Once they get the body if they get the body, then the aninus starts. And then shiva and shloshim starts after they bury it. And if
it does?
Yeah.
It's already been 30 days.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. All right. I want to first read the last two sifim, and then I want to go back. We already discussed sifhei, so read it quickly, and then I want to talk about the pischei tshuva in sifkat and chaf beis. Kozman shalonik barhames eno cholitz min avasandov eno chay batifa sarosh kviya samita aval aser leishev alishan algabi mita filu kviya. So the mechaber does not quote all the isurim of avelus. He just says he doesn't say that the mutter. He doesn't say the raser. He says there's no din of nilas isur nilas asandol. There's no din of batifa sarosh kviya samita. But avel is not an onin is not supposed to sit or to sleep on a mita, which is even if it is kifuya. And the Ramah says v'choshe kein she'aser b'tashma shamita. And then he says, "V'yesh omim the aser b'chitza v'sicha v'simcha she'la shalom v'tisparosim v'malacha," which are isurim of avelus. Avamuto latzeis mipesach beisa. So the question is here. So the Chasam Sofer quoted in the last pesach tshuva says the Ramah's not arguing with the Mechaber. In other words, he thinks the Mechaber holds like the Ramban, not like the Rambam. And as the Mechaber holds the Mechaber holds not like the Rambam. The Rambam says that an onin is mutter and chitza and sicha and those things. So the Chasam Sofer wants to say no. If he held that way, he would have said befeirush was mutter. Instead, he listed only the things that are not an issue for an onin. And when the Ramah comes along and says ve'ish omim da'aser b'chitza v'sicha, he's not arguing, he's just clarifying what the Mechaber's opinion. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. He thinks it's actually the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Okay. And finally, Meshamer Sameis Afilu Sheinu Meisa. This is from the Sugim Brachos. Pata Mikriya Shema Mikol Mitzvah Samors Betorah. But Hayushnayim Zeh Meshamer Vzeh Kori. They take turns. Again, provided that it's not a two-person job. It's a one-person-at-a-time job. Then they can alternate doing it, and then each one can do all the mitzvahs that they're chayav to do. The question that the Noda Behuda deals with is quoted in Sifchatam Chaf Beis. I'll read it very quickly with you. Ayin b'tshuvas Noda Behuda Shem shekasru d'memakom shenitan adash v'lo likbar miyad at sheyavar mem chashos chol alinus miyad v'lo domi l'hacha. It's not the same thing as here. The hacha lo nitan roshos l'kovro klal. V'afim yale b'yodam l'kovro. If even if they eventually succeed in burying the mace, mikom makom enem achuyavam achshav l'hachin tachricha miyad v'lach tachin sarim. He says, in the case of a guy who's in jail, there's no obligation of preparing the burial arrangements because you have no idea what, it's not incumbent upon you to spend the money for burial arrangements until you know you're going to get the mace. So therefore, there's really, right now, nothing then to do for Kuras HaMace. It's only the negotiators. However, Abu Bahi, when the authorities say you have to wait 40 hours, Af Shalitim Rishlus Likbar Miyad, Mikom Makom Yeshal Nohachim Tachrichim, Lachin Chom Miyad Aninus. Miyu, we suggest that Yesh Takana Shi'itaru Techaf V'lasuma Ba'aron Shalom Nake Nikov L'malmata V'gamim Sirula Katafim. Oz Yesh Tzarif Daras Rashi L'zemek V'istima Sagolel K'gon De'esher D'gam B'makom Shkrovim Hocha Meis Kura Mahani Mesira. He wants to argue that V'noi Gavelus L'chumra Mikomakom Shivisi Ma'avelus L'yaschidu At Yishtam Agolel B'kever. No, the Yudha says you wait until it's buried. It's a fixed waiting period. You're mechuyev to be dealing with the iske hames already because you know you're going to get them. You'll be able to bury the mace in 48 hours. Done. Okay. What's that? Starts after the burial. This is a 48-hour waiting period. You know you're going to get the mace. Okay. Right. The only time we say typically that avela starts because it's an isyashim lekovro, but when misha mace the tfisa. If they're not interested in ransom, but they're doing it because they hate the Jews, like in Beitar, so then that they were not in Lekura Beitar, the Romans weren't looking for a ransom. It was just done out of pure hatred. So there you start Avelos immediately, because you don't ever expect to get the mason. That's one reason we make the Bracha Tova Metev, a Tov that's Yonita Lekura, and Metev Shalom Nisrachu, Shalom Sarchu, right? But normally, you expect it's a handling business. And therefore, until you give up handling and decide this is not happening, so you... you are not in Atminos, and you are not in Avelus. Okay. Any questions about Aninus? You asked a lot of questions about Aninus. I'm only kidding. I think the Smicha students are, I don't know if they're taught to be like sheep in where they've been, so they just don't ask too many questions. A few people ask questions. Or they're just, you know, they don't have a relationship with me, so they're afraid they're not allowed to ask. So, you know, you're allowed to ask questions and shepherd me. I'm just now fighting to get to the material stuff. You may make cause shear to be longer during June's month, but that's fine. Any other... Matt?
Okay, I can ask about Kriya.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, like, for somebody who, let's say, they were in Israel for, let's say, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, they learned underneath their Rosh Hashiva, but now they're, like, learning somewhere else, like you. So... what is the relationship?
So the Rabbi in Israel taught Kriya when they went to do that. And now, yes, okay, yeah.
Well, so let's say then this Rabbi in Israel is Nifter. So then what's the relationship? Meaning, do you say that the...
Are you asking in terms of Kriya?
Right.
It depends on your relationship with it. In other words, firstly, is it Rav Chachmasa? Today it's very rare to have Rav Chachmasa. Most people, the Rav Chachmasa min Asfarim. So you still may have a Rab who's your Rab more than anybody else. But if you hold like the Ramah, depending on the day of the Ramah, you may not have a Kriya at all. So I think that the truth is, if you consider that person your Rabba Movak, even though they're technically not, then it's appropriate to tear a Kriya.
And what about, like, let's say you're in Shir with a Rav here at YU, and you're learning most of your Torah from him?
So you might not. So what? So, again, if you feel that the other. Again, I don't think anybody is technically a Rabba Movak, so I think it borders down to. you know, if you want to tear, it's fine. I don't think it's a keresh al tiflus. You don't want to be mesik yura, but it depends upon your relationship, right? The Ramos maskana seems to be that you only tear on rabo shirov chachmas on imenu, which almost doesn't exist today. You know, see?
Another question is on line that it's not so much. What was meant by Shmuel?
If you hear within Shmua Krova is within 30 days of the Ptira. If you hear in the middle of the Regel, the Mechaber says that a relative died, it's within 30 days. Even though after the Regel it's going to be a Shmua Rechoka, and Din, you're not going to be Noeg Avelus, except for a Shmua Rechoka Avelus, which is, you know, an hour or whatever, a Kol Shehu really, and a partial Neog Avelus. Take your shoes off and leave them off for a few minutes, and you've been Yotze your Chiyav of Avelus on a Shmua Rechoka. So the Mechaber says, nonetheless, because it's a Shmua Kor right now, you tear Kriya, even though you're not going to sit up real Avelus, you're not going to sit regular Avelus later. In other words, normally when you have, if you only heard it after Yom Tov, not only are you not knowing real Avelus, but you don't tear Kriya, unless it's a parent. But because right now, let's say on a sibling, right now it's a Shmua Kor, but you tear Kriya on Chol
HaMoed. And for Shmua Kor, you said
one day Shmua? Shmua Rechoka. Shmua Kor, you have all the dinim of an Avelus. That's the story in Psachim where he said Chalotz Menai Leveholach Kelei Acharan Lebesa Amerchatz. As he kept it for an hour, and that was it, and not all Nihugim. You know, he did one thing, Mixes Yom Kekulo, and so on and so forth. Shmur Chokay and Hagas Yom Echad, and Mixes Yom Kekulo. I think it was the third. What was the third? Rather than saying, I don't remember what it is, but I'll just tell you what it is. Shmamina Avelasa Benilas Asandal, Shmamina Shmur Chokin Arsiyom Echad, Shmamina Mixesiyom Kekula. Yeah. Okay. And then that's the Asandal part I forgot. That's the really obvious one. Okay. So, gentlemen, have a wonderful Shabbos. And the plan right now is to have.